chapter 22, Isaiah 22. And we will look at verse 22 and 23. Isaiah 22, verse 22 and 23. If you are able to stand, let's go ahead and stand. As I begin this short message, you realize the word short is relative. It all depends on what you're comparing it to. I mean, if we're comparing it to a five-hour sermon, well, 1 hour is short. And he wasn't specific on his prayer. He just said short. All right. Verse 22 and 23, the Bible says, "And the key of the house of David will I lay upon his shoulder, so he shall open and none shall shut, and he shall shut and none shall open. And I will fasten him as a nail in a sure place, and he shall be for a glorious throne to his father's house." So this is a text I have preached a good while ago. I don't know, there might be a handful of people here that were in attendance, and I'm sure you forgot all about it. So, and it won't be delivered the same. So, let's go ahead and pray. Father, we ask that your Spirit would minister to our hearts this evening, and I pray that this would help and encourage, strengthen your people tonight in their faith, and that you would be glorified through this, and that it would be the beginning of a new wave of evangelism and through this ministry. I pray, Lord, that you'd bless our special music now. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. In Isaiah, so we read about an individual, the context, there are two characters in Isaiah 22 that are mentioned. There's a man by the name of Shebna, and then there's a man by the name of Eliakim. This is during the reign of King Hezekiah. Shebna is apparently the treasurer, and apparently God is exposing some things about him, and he's going to be relieved of his job. If we were to read, let's see, from verse, where's he located in here? Verse 15 on down to verse 21. He's going to be removed, and he's going to be replaced with Eliakim, who's been proven to be a faithful man of God. And so in the actual context, Isaiah's receiving this, and Eliakim is apparently, let's read it, verse 20. Verse 20, it says, "And it shall come to pass in that day that I will call my servant Eliakim." By the way, the name Eliakim has the idea of being promoted by God. That's what it means. "The son of Hilkiah, and I will clothe him with thy robe and strengthen him with thy girdle, and I will commit thy government into his hand, and he shall be a father to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and to the house of Judah. And the key of the house of David will I lay upon him, his shoulder, so he shall open and none shall shut, and he shall shut and none shall open. And I will fasten him as a nail in a sure place." And so let me go ahead, without trying to break things, take a nail and take a hammer and pound it into this old pulpit. I was thinking earlier, I thought, you know, I like our present pulpit, and I don't want to put a nail in it. I watched a preacher preach this text, and he did pound a nail into a very beautiful pulpit. And I might have done that the last time I preached this sermon, but not today. So anyways, not that I don't appreciate the person who made this, but I hold that in higher esteem. So, anyways. And besides, this was not being used in a classroom. And so, you know, you He's a nail in a sure place, and that's an unusual term, but I think we can understand the application. Now, guys, we're not as creative. We don't often go by the fancy hooks to put things up. Just throw a nail up there and throw some curtains up, and you'll be good to go. Thank God for women to help develop our creative abilities. My wife knows that. I've used plenty of nails for things that I've had to pull out eventually. But a nail, you know, you can hang things on a nail. And in this text, Eliakim is this nail in a sure place. He is, we could put it this way, he's trustworthy. He's been found faithful. You can rely on him. You can rest in him. Well, you and I certainly know somebody else that fits that description above and beyond Eliakim. And as we would read the text, the Lord Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. And regardless of your spiritual condition right now, living in the world is a difficult thing. And if we do not have the ability to live above the circumstances of this world, it will destroy our testimony and it will hinder our ability to help other people. And we need a place to hang ourselves on, and that person is Jesus Christ, right? We need to rest ourselves in the Lord Jesus Christ, and he is always available, always available. So that's an application, that's a Bible truth that still stands no matter where you're at in life, no matter how low you've been. You can hang yourself on Christ and expect security.
Amen.
Expect stability. Expect faithfulness. As a matter of fact, I would say this. If you are unstable right now in your life, in whatever social realm you're in, whatever it is, if you feel unstable, the best place to get stabilized is the Lord Jesus Christ. You hang yourself on him. He is the stabilizer. He's the stabilizer. Okay. I hope you're getting that. That's worth the whole sermon right there. I could wrap it up, and it's all about Jesus.
Amen.
But there's an application for you and I. And the reality is this. For most Christians, many of us begin our Christian walk by hanging ourselves on somebody else's faith. Do I have that? Did you hear me? Many of us begin our Christian walk by hanging ourselves, inadvertently. Okay? God uses people to help people. Okay? And by the way, he uses faithful people. Most men proclaim their own goodness, but a faithful man who can find. God uses faithful people. He uses stable people to help stabilize people. That's a truth. That's just the truth. If you have grown in the Lord, God has used people. It may not be just one person, it may be a number of people, but God has used people to help stabilize you and help you grow. I believe God used Abraham in Lot's life for a good degree of his life. Are you with me? I believe God used Abraham for a good degree of Lot's life. The Bible tells us Lot was a just man. Somehow, somewhere, he found the faith. He was a believer, and God accepted his faith and acknowledged him as just, not because of his works, but because of his faith, even though he made a poor decision. And for a long time, he had been hanging on Abraham, but the day came when he left Abraham, and we found out he didn't have the ability to hang himself on the right nail, to stabilize himself. I've seen a lot of big churches when the preacher fell, went into sin. Multitudes of the people just got out of church. I mean, they got out of church. They didn't just leave that church. They got out of church and quit walking with God. What does that tell you? They had totally relied upon
that individual. They had been hanging themselves on a human, and they'd never learned to really hang themselves on Jesus Christ. You're with me here?
Yes.
Okay. I mean, my fog brain's gone, but response helps me. Okay. So that's a reality. I've seen Christian families where a dad would get bitter and get out of church, and the family that had been brought up in church is, they're out of church. They're out of church. What happened? They've been hanging themselves on somebody else's faith, but they never learned to really latch it to Jesus Christ. You see, I really don't want to break that cup. And I've got the nail in there too far. Just give me a second here to fix my illustration here. Okay, just a second here. Okay, oops, all right. So when the nail comes out, I mean, nothing's going to hang on it. And great is the fall thereof. And that's a tragedy. It's a tragedy to see these kids are growing up in the house of God, and we want them to develop into good, strong Christians. We want them to grow roots themselves. We want them to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. But the reality is, for a while, they're hanging themselves on people older than them. And if mom or dad fall, they fall. And sometimes it might be a Sunday school teacher, a church member that they've looked up to, and they see them drinking or cussing or losing their temper, and it's like, wow, they're not exactly what we thought they were. And so that's important that we understand this responsibility. And what I want to just get across in just a couple minutes here, because we're actually almost done. Every person in this room, whether you are privy to it or not, you're being watched by others who don't know Christ like you. They may not even be saved, but they're not where you're at in your Christian faith. Every person, I don't care what your age, they're watching you. And in a sense, they're watching you and they're hanging on you. They may not look like they're living for God right now, but they're watching you. And in time of crisis, they're watching you. And so what's so vital, what's absolutely necessary for moms and dads and every Christian in this room is that we make sure we are nailed in there real good. Again, we need to be rooted and grounded in the truth. We need to be fastened in a sure place. And as we look at a nail in a sure place, well, it usually takes a hammer. If I had a hammer. I got one. Takes a hammer. And I just want to tell you right now, the only way you really get that nail fastened in the sure place is when you learn to do the right thing when it's difficult. Not when it's convenient, when it's difficult. I don't feel like reading my Bible, but I'm going to make myself read my Bible today. Well, then the hammer just puts you in a little deeper. I don't feel like spending time with God, but I'm going to walk with God today. I'm going to pour out my heart to God. Oh, it's Sunday and I'm so tired. I'm just so tired. I have grandkids at my house. I had to deal with a birthday party all night, but I'm coming to church. Because what you need to understand, those children are hanging on you.
Right.
Listen, we're all made of the same stuff. We get weak, we get weary, we get stressed. But there are just some things, there are some Christian disciplines we cannot afford to go without. Are you hearing me? Because if I'm going to continue to have a testimony that brings honor to Christ, I better be nailed. I said, nailed into a sure place. And if I'm going to be nailed, I'm going to have to do the right thing even when it's difficult. I'm going to have to learn to say no to temptation all the time, but no to temptations, even though, man, I got all the pressure around me. But every time you say no to evil, get rooted in a little bit deeper. Joseph, every time you say no to Potiphar's wife, good thing he did that, because he had a whole nation that'd be hanging on him. And I'm just telling you, mom, dad, single person, there are people watching you, not just in this church, but outside of this church, the people you work with, maybe extended family members who are not as close to God as you are, but they're watching. And the day's going to come when crisis hits, they need a place of refuge. And they're going to say, well, if you made it through it, then I want your God. And they're going to come to you first. And though they may call upon Christ because of you, in a sense, they're still going to hang on you. And we individually must learn, we must allow God to nail us. Nail us. Paul did say, for I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, to be crucified, that's not convenient. They're the disciplines of witnessing. Of witnessing. No, that's not always convenient. I've learned this. If you don't deliberately try to be a witness, you will not accidentally be a witness. I've never met an accidental Christian. Well, how'd you get to where you are in your Christian faith? Man, I don't know. I just kind of showed up here and here I am. No, they made a conscious choice to serve their Lord. And as a result, people have been helped. People have found deliverance through their Savior. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm just telling you, it's not fun. You might be dealing with cynics and critics and difficulties. You might be dealing with even aches and pains, but they're still doing right. Listen, doing right is always right.
Amen.
It's just always right. We can make excuses all we want, but there's never excuse for sin. Well, God, you know, I use that foul language because my back hurt really bad. And I know a lot of people whose back and legs and head hurts really bad. And they don't have to cuss and they don't lose their temper. And they can still honor the Lord. I wonder how they did it. Well, they just stayed faithful and let God just keep hammering them in the right place. It's not like it was always pleasant to their flesh, but in the long run, it was the best thing. It's kept them out of the nasty of the world.
Amen.
And God has used their lives to help so many other people hang their hats on until they were able to get nailed in themselves. Now, are you hearing me? Are you with me in this? You want to win people? Let God keep you nailed into a sure place. You want to reach people? Tomorrow, you get up and read your Bible. Tomorrow, you determine to ask God to use you as a witness. Tomorrow, you take time and pray. Matter of fact, you don't have to wait till tomorrow. If there are issues in your life, even today, where you know, yeah, this is a bad habit. Well, is it a bad habit or is it sin? You see, the more we look to please the Lord, the more God can fasten us securely so that we can be used to help other people. Now listen, I am so grateful that regardless of, you may have fallen, you may have hit bottom, you may have just fouled up. You had been growing and going, and then all of a sudden one bad decision and you feel like you're starting over. I got good news for you. There is one place you can always turn to. He hasn't left. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, forever. So that's my simple, short message for you tonight. Father, we love you, and we pray that you bless our service, and I pray that your Spirit would help us, Lord God, to allow you to fasten us securely to the cross. Lord, I pray that the result would be multitudes that would find a place of refuge and comfort, especially our children, our friends, family members who are wayward or who are lost. They need our testimony. They need our Lord. They need you. And I know you want to use our lives. And I pray, Father, that we would allow you to do this work in our lives. The beating of the hammer is not always, it's not comfortable. But oh, when all is said and done and we look back, it is so much better than what would have happened if we'd fell to the ground. May you bless our invitation. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing a couple stanzas. If you want to get your hearts ready for communion, you're welcome to do that at this time, but we'll sing a couple stanzas of invitation.